you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
I'm Austin Cross. Join me for LAist's new live event series with the James Beard Foundation. We Are Where We Eat will go behind the scenes of LA restaurants. The kickoff event is May 22nd. Tickets at LAist.com/events.
You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. I'm Larry Mantle. Reminder, tomorrow it's Film Week at 11 o'clock on KPCC. Our critics Angie Hahn and Christy Lemire will review the documentary Operation Varsity Blues, the college admission scandal. It's streaming on Netflix, and we'll hear about this documentary that also features reenactments of what went on behind the scenes with all the money that was paid by well-to-do families to try and get their kids into elite schools. We'll also hear about the Spanish drama The Human Voice, starring Tilda Swinton and written and directed by one of my favorite directors, Pedro Almodovar. Those are just a couple of things we got going on Film Week tomorrow at 11 o'clock. But right now, as I said a couple minutes ago, we turn our attention to technology and sex. Joining me is Justin Lehmiller, social psychologist and research fellow at the Kinsey Institute at the University of Indiana. He's author of the forthcoming, or I should say just published book, Tell Me What You Want, The Science of Sexual Desire and How It Can Help You Improve Your Sex Life. He also hosts the Sex and Psychology podcast. Justin Lehmiller, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, Larry, thanks for having me.
So let's talk about what sort of trends we're seeing. And, you know, one of the things I know that's hoped for is that for people who have difficulty either physically or emotionally being able to have sex with other humans, that there would be some sort of way through technology to have sexual needs met. What sort of advancements are we seeing on that front?
We're seeing a lot, and this actually isn't a new thing, in that work on this subject has actually been going on for decades. So for example, one of the earlier attempts to try and help people address sexual problems through technology was actually the creation of this essentially orgasm implant that goes near the spinal cord, and basically at the push of a button, it can stimulate an orgasm. And the idea behind it was that it was designed to help people with physical disabilities or people who may have a lot of difficulty reaching orgasm otherwise. And so it's designed to essentially assist in that. Now, the interesting question that comes from all of this is everybody going to want an orgasm implant at some point if it became widely available? And would we be tempted to just push that button for immediate pleasure rather than trying to build up sexual arousal and go the more traditional route?
I'm sure for many people it brings up the old Woody Allen movie Sleeper with the orgasmatron, that that people would, you know, have an orgasm without real sex, and even with other people, but other people had become dispensable when it came to achieving orgasm. So I mean, it's been parodied going back decades ago,
and it's not the science fiction thing that people tend to think it is. You know, these are real technologies that can be used, but I think we really need to put a lot more care and effort into conducting research on what are the ethical and other implications of all of these technologies, and to what extent are they going to help us deal with sexual problems and increase intimacy versus push us apart. And that's really where me as a social psychologist, I get very interested in all of this, because while I see this great promise and potential for technology to enhance our intimate lives, I also don't want us to lose our humanity in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and in this year of pandemic, where for people who aren't in a bubble with someone with whom they're intimate, have we seen it? Are we able to quantify increasing uses of technology to bridge that gap?
Yes. And this is something that we've documented at the Kinsey Institute. So last year, we conducted a 7-month longitudinal study on the impact of COVID-19 on people's intimate lives. And while we found that people were having less sex on average compared to the year before, a lot of people were trying new and different things. In fact, about 1 in 5 people said they tried something new in their sex life. And one of the most common new additions was incorporating more technology. And so among the different things people tried, that included, for example, long distance sex toys, where basically you and your partner can be in a different room, in a different city, and you can stimulate each other via a remote controlled sex toy. And so that's something some people have been exploring and experimenting with during this really interesting time in history.
Yet another draw on bandwidth in the home. Certainly.
You have really good.
You need high speed internet for that, right? All right. 866-893-KPECC. I'm interested in hearing from you if you have questions about sex and technology, where the research is taking us, as well as the adoption by Americans of some of the technology in their sex lives. If you're someone who has incorporated technology into your sex life. I'm not talking about just, video images or things like that, but some of the more cutting edge technology. We're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. You mentioned earlier the implants that could be used. Is that like when you say implant for orgasm? That sounds permanent. Is that the case?
And, you know, that's a good question. I think with a lot of this stuff, we don't understand yet the long-term impacts and how these things are going to change our bodies. So how easy are they to implant, and then how easy are they to remove? What is the rate of complications? There's so much that we don't know. And something else that I've found that's really interesting that I can't say I ever expected to see is that some people are actually doing similar things like this on their own without, you know, really the assistance of the healthcare profession, and they're not waiting for the technology to catch up. And in one case, this individual is essentially trying to turn himself into a human vibrator and is inserting implants that will allow him to, you know, essentially be a human sex toy. And there is just so much that we don't know about how that's going to impact somebody's health and what if problems happen and arise. We just don't know.
People have very creative ideas, no question. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. One of the fears, of course, that's expressed, and our guest alluded to this briefly, is that sex becomes more impersonal and that we rely on machines for pleasure as opposed to more fully realized relationships and what goes beyond just the mechanics of sex and orgasm. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about what this means for concerns about robots or dolls or other sorts of what are mechanical surrogates for another human being for sexual congress. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. You can tweet at AirTalk or post on the AirTalk page. Back in 1 minute. It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Coming up next hour, we'll be talking with a chaplain at one of our local hospitals who has had to comfort families who have loved ones in the hospital who they haven't been able to see face-to-face during this time of the pandemic. We'll talk with him about his experiences providing comfort, not just to those family members, but to patients in the hospital and to the staff members who have been under such tremendous stress over this past year. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. With us from Indiana University's Kinsey Institute, social psychologist and research fellow Justin Lehmiller, talking with us about the latest on sex and technology. So sex dolls have been around for a very long time, but I understand that there have been advances there too. What are they?
Advances in terms of sex dolls and robots?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I understand like heaters in them to make them, you know, warmer, more like a human, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so this is something that is super fascinating because in the past, they just tried to create dolls that kind of had a lifelike appearance. But if you were to interact with them, it would just feel like a piece of silicone. And so what they're doing now is they're going beyond this to incorporate more humanoid elements. And so having the internal heaters is one way so that when you actually touch the doll, it feels like more like a human partner. But another part of it is adding in some artificial intelligence so that you can actually have a conversation with the doll and it can interact with you to some degree. So these technologies are actually programmable so that you can have dolls with a certain personality. And some are even going as far as to kind of program the dolls to experience jealousy, because some people find jealousy to be arousing, right? It makes you feel desired because somebody wants you. So we're seeing more of these kind of human elements being transferred into the dolls and robots.
Wow, I'm thinking that movie Her with Joaquin Phoenix and the voice of Scarlett Johansson and the relationship that they have in that film. How far has that artificial intelligence developed?
So it's a work in progress, and most of the AI technologies that exist for these kinds of dolls and robots are kind of at the lower end at this point in time, but they're working and developing and investing a lot of money in it. And so in the next decade or two, I think you're really going to see some significant advances in this area, and the robots are going to be much more human-like than they are today.
All right. And with jealousy being programming, that would seem the potentially dangerous step. If you had a robot who takes that to an extreme.
Right. And, you know, this is where all of these sci-fi movies come to mind, is because how much of our humanity and human emotions do we want to try and transfer into artificial intelligence, because, you know, hey, that's when the robot revolt happens. It's when they start to feel these sort of complex emotions that humans do. So I think, again, this is another area where we need to approach it very cautiously, and it needs to be a collaboration between industry and psychologists and medical professionals to ensure that it's meeting our needs and doesn't get out of hand very quickly.
Well, and does the robot get jealous only if you have sex with another robot or cross species with a human? I wonder how that's programmed.
Great question. And, you know, these things are infinitely customizable, so people can make it meet their needs, whatever is, particularly arousing to them.
Justin Leigh Miller of the Kinsey Institute, Indiana University, author of Tell Me What You Want, The Science of Sexual Desire and How It Can Help You Improve Your Sex Life. We're at 866-893-KPECC. If you and your partner or you solo have used some of this more recently developed and sold sexual technology, I'd be interested in hearing your experiences, the pros and cons. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Several years ago, we did a segment on VR pornography, and I have no sense whether that's really taken off or not. Is that something that has developed?
It is, and it's becoming increasingly more available. I would say it's still kind of in the early stages, and the technology is still very expensive. And this is an important point when we're talking about all of these technologies, and especially in terms of how widespread they're going to become. It depends what the price point is and whether the companies will be able to bring that down enough to make it accessible to most people. But there are a lot of different companies that offer VR porn right now. And as long as you have the right headset and equipment, you can work with those companies and customize your porn in the way that you want. And where we're seeing this go in the future is you'll be able to pick whoever you want as your partner. And it could be a celebrity, it could be an ex-partner, it could be a deceased spouse, you know, it could be anyone. But with all of that, then that raises a lot of issues and questions around consent. And, you know, did these people consent to appear in your VR world? But then also there's the issue of privacy, because everything that you do in that VR world, there's going to be some digital footprint. And who has access to it? And what happens if your digital sexual secrets get out?
So much to think about there. And of course, there are critics of traditional pornography, for lack of a better term, seeing that as harming intimacy and making people often, you know, less willing to have sex with other people because they're filling that void with porn. If people are able to customize through VR and have an even more realistic experience, do you have any concerns about that? That the fantasy overtakes real life interpersonal human intimacy?
I think it all depends on how we use it. And my hope is that these technologies will be used as a complement, an addition to our current sex lives, and not as a replacement or substitute for the sex that we aren't having. So, for example, I can imagine how using these technologies together with a partner could allow you to explore fantasies or test them out in a way that you might not be comfortable trying in the real world, or so that you can kind of get a practice run and see if you actually like that before you do it in real life. So when used in that way, it can be a helpful addition and it can bring people closer together. But if we find that people just stop having sex with their partners and are going off into their own VR worlds and this pushes us apart, then that's ultimately going to be a negative thing, not just for relationships, but also we have to talk about implications for fertility and the survival of our species.
We thank you so much, Justin Lehmiller, for being with us and filling us in on some of the most recent developments in the area of sex and tech. Thanks very much. Look forward to talking with you again.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
From the Sexual Research Kinsey Institute, Justin Lehmiller, social psychologist and research fellow, author of Tell Me What You Want, and host of the Sex and Psychology podcast. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up next hour, we got much to talk about. We're going to be focused on the $1.3 billion the city of L.A. will be receiving from that $1.9 trillion federal stimulus bill. L.A. is in a heap of financial trouble. Question is where all that money is going to go. A lot of different constituencies have their hands out for it. We'll talk about it next.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.